Welcome to the show.
This is Philip H. Anselmo.
Hey, everybody. This is Ricky Rackman from Headbangers Ball.
Hey, guys. This is Aaron from Betraying the Martyrs.
Hey, what's up? This is Mike D. from Killswitch Engage.
Hey, this is Scooter Word from Cold.
And you are listening to...
Talk
to me.
Talk to me. Talk to me.
Talk to me.
Talk to me with Joshua.
What is up, congregation? Welcome in to Talk To Me, episode 232. The returning guest this week is Mikey Doling of Snot, formerly of Soulfly, currently of Channel Zero. He is on to promote his solo track, Dirty Clown. It's a world premiere on the Talk To Me podcast. So stick around. We're going to listen to some Snot. We'll talk to Mikey Doling, and then we'll check out the new track, Dirty Clown. But first, we got to do a little bit of business, and that means an Apple Podcasts review, which I do have one this week. I do appreciate it. If you've got an iPhone, take 2 seconds, go over to your podcast app and leave a nice 5-star rating, nice 5-star review. It will be read on an upcoming episode of the show. This is from GuitarLo77, nice 5-star review. Great podcast, great host. I've been listening for years and thought I'd already posted a review / rating. Great show, great host, great guests. Keep up the awesomeness. Short, to the point, that's all you need. Just go over there, do that for me. Take 2 seconds of your day and leave a nice 5-star rating, nice 5-star review. It will be read on an upcoming episode of the show. First off, the Talk To Me shirts, the new ones I got in, the new ones that I paid for out of my own pocket are in, and we need to get these out the door. So, $25 to my PayPal, paypal.me/talktome. Leave your size, leave your name, leave your address. I will ship those out to you. I'm staring at the box right now. These need to be in your hands. So, paypal.me/talktome, $25, free shipping in the continental United States if you're outside the U.S., which I do have a lot of listeners from the world abroad. Reach out to me and we'll work something out.
My name is Scott Bowling. I have a show called Good Company. Good Company is a show where we film artists in the rock genre and we talk about their first record all the way to where they are now. We've interviewed bands like Korn and Seven Dust and Rich Ward. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook under Good Company or Good Company with Bowling. So please, if you get a chance, check it out.
Good Company!
And make sure you're checking out Scott Bowling over at Good Company with Bowling. Looks like he has a podcast coming soon, and we will be talking to him about that. And our good friends over at MerchLive.com. They've got so many great bundles over there. You can get Metallica, Megadeth, Pantera, Five Finger Death Punch, Anthrax, Slayer, so many great bands. And go over there, check them out, check out what they're doing. Shop till you drop. Use the promo code TOME10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. Yes, that is TOME10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. Once again, TOOMEY10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. And that will let them know that the Talk To Me podcast sent you. So now back to the matter at hand. We've got Mikey Doling of Snot, formerly of Soulfly, on the show this week to talk about his new solo project, which is just going to be going as Mikey Doling. We're going to be checking out the track Dirty Clown. We'll be doing that after the interview, but first let's check out some classic Snot. This one is a snooze button.
Out!
Not just your money, but your freedom or your wealth.
one sitcom hell. Segments, you're doing what you said back. Synopsis of a chat to make it ready. It is all the only thing they're giving back. You're dying, and in your mind while they keep lying, they took your soul, God, right? You better forget.
Wake up.
Lying.
Guys, we got the world famous Mikey Doling on the line here. Mikey, how's it going, bud?
How you doing, brother?
I am doing well, man. I'm doing well. I'm excited to debut Dirty Clown. I've been listening to it over the last few days and getting into this, man. And it's an honor and pleasure to have you want to premiere it on this platform.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, let's get right into it. What's the idea behind, you know, you kind of doing some solo stuff now?
Well, the idea is, I mean, I've always wanted to write my own music. You know, I mean, not write my own music, but sing on my own music. I mean, I've written pretty much everything I've ever been in as far as a band goes.
Yeah.
I'm a writer, songwriter for sure. But I've always wanted to sing on something. And I was producing a band out of Santa Barbara called MT4D. And these guys have been good friends of mine for about 20 years.
Okay.
And they're big Snot fans back in the day. And I went into the studio day one to start recording with them. And they had a huge falling out with their singer. And he also played guitar in the band. So basically it was a three-piece band. It was a drummer, bass player, and a guy who played guitar and sang. And they had a huge falling out, and the thing fell apart right before we even started recording. So I was like, oh, what a shame. What a bummer. I really like these guys. So everything got shut down, went home. And about a month later, they got a hold of me again and said, hey, we'd like to get back in the studio with you. And one of us is going to sing on it and play guitar. I was like, well, all right. So let's give it a shot. So we went in the studio and it was failing bad. neither one of the guys could sing.
Right.
And we tried and tried. It just wasn't happening. So again, we went home. So then a third time they called me and they said, hey, man, can we give it another shot? So we got in the studio and we started writing from scratch. And I started writing my riffs and my stuff and directing them on top of that. And it just somehow turned into my music, right? And then the bassist started to try to sing on it and it wasn't working. So I said, hey, give me a shot at it. So I got in there in the behind the mic, and I started singing, and it sounded pretty fucking good. Everybody was stoked. I was stoked. They were stoked. I was like, hey, you know what? This is pretty cool. Let's try to complete a song. So we finished the tune, And then at the end of the day, we're like, you know what? That's cool. We just wrote an entire song from scratch, and it sounds killer. Let's continue. And we continued for about a week, and we ended up with six songs that I wrote and that I sang on and that they got to play drums and bass on. And it turned into my project. And we're stoked. And here we are with the project ready to release them.
With you taking over vocals, I mean, I'm assuming, you know, in the past you've done some backing tracks and things like that. But, I mean, have you actually ever fully sang in a band?
No, this is the first time I've ever done that. And it really literally happened by accident.
And was this something that you even attempted, like, in, you know, home studio stuff and, you know, like, maybe I should try singing, or this is truly the first time you sang, like, in a band?
It's the first time I've ever sang on a project at all.
Wow.
But the reason I think I can sing okay is because I've been producing records for 20 years, and I end up working with vocalists and hitting notes with them and arranging melodies. And I just kind of taught myself how to sing over the 20 years, but I've never actually tried it myself on my own project.
And now with the Dirty Clown song itself, obviously the video and everything and the entire ties around it, it's very political. And, you know, you and I have been kind of going back and forth the last couple of days talking about, you know, that some backlash is coming. So, I mean, you know, why do you want to throw yourself into that political realm?
Well, when we started writing that song, we're just spitting lyrics, and we're just vibing lyrics. And then I said something political, just kind of spitting ideas, spitballing, and it sounded cool. And then I just started going with it. I'm like, you know what, with the climate today, how politics is happening and shaping up, it's just lame and embarrassing. And the lyrics kind of became this whole, the left and the right suck. Today's politics suck. And then it turned into, like, our forefathers, our founding fathers of the country would be totally ashamed of where we are at politically today. And that's kind of where the song ended up. I wasn't trying to make a big statement or anything. It just rolled that direction. And at the end of the day, we're like, wow, this song is badass. So we had this song about today's politics being fucking lame. And that's the song. So we put it away, didn't think about it. And then we wrote five more. And then we ended up listening back to all the tracks. And this song really stuck out for me. I was like, wow, this is really cool. And, you know, that's kind of how the song shaped up. I'm not Mr. Politics guy or anything like that. We're just creating that day. And that's the angle it took. And that's where we ended up.
Now, I know a lot of people that travel outside the country a lot tend to maybe see politics from a little bit of a different lens, and, you know, you see other countries, and obviously you're doing Channel Zero for so long, you know, you've been going to Belgium and all over the country or all over the world with those guys, and you know, do you get to see that, like, when you go to play with those guys, you know, dealing with other countries and having, you know, people from other countries talking about Trump and, you know, things that we may not even be paying attention to here?
You know what? Absolutely, man. I spend about 3 months of the year in Europe every year. And even over there, the whole Trump culture thing has just taken over the news. And I'm the American in the band. Well, actually, there's two Americans in the band now. Our drummer, Seven Antonopoulos, is American also. He's fairly new in the band, even though he's been there almost 5 years. But anyway, yeah, man. They're always asking us, how do you guys feel about that Trump character? They're kind of laughing about it because he's, you know, he's pretty crazy. And, it's definitely taken over a lot of conversations around the world with us because we're married.
And the one thing too, and obviously, guys, if you're listening, you can go check it out. Check out the video, the lyric video, over at talktomepod.com, and it'll be there waiting for you to check out while you're listening or after the interview. But one thing I did notice about the video is that, you know, you're not pro Trump, you're not pro Bernie, you're not pro Hillary. You know, it's you're pretty much making fun of everybody. So it's not a pro right wing or pro left wing kind of song.
Absolutely, I mean it's both, because I personally think that. You know, I tend to, at first I like to lean right. You know, I'm more of a right-wing guy, but Trump is so embarrassing, it forced me to lean left. And now, actually, the left is getting equally as embarrassing to me, you know? And both sides of the political spectrum are just ridiculous these days. And that's what the video represents.
Yeah, it's definitely it's definitely gotten out of control. And I definitely try to stay out of politics as much as I can. But it's just crazy to watch, like, our president rallying speech the other day talking about, you know, actually using cuss words in speeches, which is insane for me to, you know, you don't think of your politicians, and especially the president of the United States, you know, saying the word bullshit, you know, during a rally cry. I was like, wow.
You know, yeah, you know what, though, at the same time, it is pretty fucking punk rock. And there's a part of me that actually likes that about him.
It's cool.
You know, it's this that when he doesn't speak out against racism and when he's stealing babies from the parents and shit, I don't like that part of it, of course. You know, but like you said, man, I'm not gonna pick a side, you know.
It is
what it is. Because I'm too stupid. I don't really know enough about politics to pick a side. But I do know one thing. Every time I see him on TV, I got to turn it off. I'm really sick of it.
Yeah, it's a bit much. It is definitely a bit much.
It's a bit much, but then I go and make a video about it and add more to it. So I'm a big hypocrite, but whatever.
Right, right. How did you get involved with the Channel Zero guys?
A really good buddy of mine, his name's Lawrence Custers. He's a Belgian dude, and he has a label called Ice Cream Records. Really good dude. He also manages a lot of hardcore bands out of New York. I think Sick of It All and a few others. Anyway, I'm buddies with him for a lot of years, and he's really good friends with Channel Zero because he's from Belgium. And he called me about 10 years ago because they were looking for a guitar player. And he told me, man, these guys are awesome, and I think you'd be a perfect fit. So I packed a bag, a backpack, literally, and took my guitar and flew to Belgium and tried out for the band. 22 guitar players tried out for this band.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man, and I just clicked really well with him, and I got the gig.
Now, is that something that's like, I mean, I guess it has to be, but it just seems like, I think the last time you were on, we talked about them a little bit, but it's not like a household name here in the States. I mean, how are they overseas? And I'm assuming that obviously if they have a following overseas, then, you know, it has to be financially viable at some point, right?
Yeah. Over there, we kick ass, man. In Belgium, we just rock it. We do like arenas and we do big festivals.
Wow.
And then the surrounding areas as well, like France and Holland and Luxembourg and, you know, we did Hellfest and Wacken in Germany, and, you know, we kick ass over there. It's like a seasonal thing for us. Pretty much during the summer, I'll go over there and do about 25 shows. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. And the guys in the band are fucking awesome, you know, and love them a lot. We've recorded 3 records in the 10 years I've been in the band. And all 3 of them, I think, went gold.
Wow.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
It's always crazy when things like that kind of, obviously, you know, you think that the music and the metal and the metal market and everything in the States would be something that big over there would seep over here. And you know, have you guys ever played over here or talked about, you know, coming over here to do some stuff?
No, we haven't. It's just too much work, man. We're all old guys and veterans of the game. And to come over to the States, we'd have to literally just jump in a van and start over. It's just too much work for us, man. We're comfortable just playing over in Europe where it's good, and, you know, we're not chasing anything over here for sure.
I think it's crazy. A lot of American metal bands, I think, almost do the same thing, where they'll just go spend a summer in Europe, make some money, and come home. Because, I mean, you got so many bands that I think I would want to see live here, but, you know, they'll play here in front of 80 kids, and then they'll post a video from, you know, them playing somewhere in Europe, and it's, you know, a packed out 2,000 crowd or 2,000 people crowd, and everyone's into it. You know, why would you want to play the States at that point?
There's no doubt about it. I mean, the States is awesome. You know, I'd love to play here and all that, but it's just too much work to get there, you know. And, you know, if I was in my 20s, sure, let's get in a van and go across America 5 times and try to build a fan base.
Right.
I'm not in the 20s anymore.
Yeah, Machine Head's been posting some videos of their recent tour in Europe, and the crowds have been insane. And you know, I see them here, and it's, you know, a good crowd, but it's nothing like this. The fan, it's almost like South America or something too, where they'll post videos of South America, and you're like, oh my god, like I haven't seen a crowd like that in the States since like the 90s.
Dude, no doubt about it.
How long after Soulfly did you join Channel Zero?
It was quite a while, man. Yeah. I left Soulfly in 2004, I think, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Maybe even three. And then after that, I had a band called A Bloom.
Right.
With Roy Mayorga and Marcelo Diaz, who were in Soulfly with me. And we started another band called A Bloom. And that was around for a couple of years. We had a good time with that. And then just after that, I had another band called In Vitro. And that was super fun, man. We did that for a few years. And we went on tour with, like, Korn and a bunch of big bands. It was cool. And then after that, it was right into Channel Zero. And I've been focused on that for 10 years, man.
And I still see you doing a lot of snot stuff here and there. So it's like, always kind of comes back around. And I think I even heard... I feel like I heard Tommy even talking about on a podcast recently that he's talking about maybe even doing some snot stuff again.
Yeah, we are talking about that. He's really busy with Bad Wolves right now, obviously. And Jamie, our drummer, is also in Bad Religion. He's really busy too.
Maybe you need to get a bad band. Maybe that's what you need to do.
Yeah, that's funny. But as soon as we can get some time, as soon as they can get some time off from those bands and I get some time available, we're going to go ahead and book some snot stuff. We're talking about it actually right now, but I can't give any dates.
Yeah.
But I'll let you know when we get some confirmed.
What do you plan to do with the solo stuff? Is this just going to be your name, or is there going to be a band name, or what are you thinking about that?
Dude, I'm just going to release it as Mikey Doling.
Yeah.
It's not like a new band or anything like that. I'm just having fun with it. You know, it's just like that. I'm not trying to sell a bunch of records or play a bunch of concerts. I just want to release some lyric videos and some music and just enjoy it.
Are you going to do shows? Do you want to do shows with this?
I do. I'd like to do some maybe local stuff, you know, in California where I live. You know, just a few gigs, some special shows. And I'd like to put together kind of a big band. I'd like to do like three or four guitar players and maybe even two drummers, as crazy as that sounds. You know, a bass player, put together like a really big band and maybe do something down like a Roxy or something. It'd be kind of cool.
That'd be cool. I mean, you know, you could obviously do these songs and plus, you know, span the career type stuff too.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. I do like maybe 6 to 10 songs of my own, then maybe a few snot songs, then a couple In Vitro tunes or something like that.
Nice. So, you know, it's funny how the memory of Lynn kind of every time it comes around on, you know, Facebook or whatnot, it tends to start popping up again. And just this many years later, does it blow you away that people still care about that first snot album and still want to keep the memory of Lynn alive?
I'm absolutely blown away, dude. We released our only record in 1997, and here we are 22 years later, and people still give a shit about that record. And thank God that people remember Lynn, man, because he was such an amazing artist, frontman, in person. You know, it's pretty damn cool that his memory's still alive and that people recognize his talent. I mean, I believe if we had done a few more records, that he would have been one of the best frontmen in the business for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he was obviously even at that time was already gaining that reputation as one of the best frontmen out there.
He was just a monster, man. He was the real deal. There was no bullshit in him. He was exactly what he was on stage, off stage.
Yeah, I believe Sonny said, if I'm not mistaking, and I'm paraphrasing, but when he heard how Lynn passed away, he wasn't surprised because he said Lynn was always a kind of a crazy driver.
Unfortunately, that's true. You know, we used to all kind of yell at Lynn because he's too, he was always in a race or something. I don't know. Yeah, unfortunately, man, yeah.
Looking back at those, you know, early snot shows, I mean, the guys in System of a Down were always around. You know, they were coming up at the same time too. And I would assume, like, I guess that's like cold chamber time, and like it maybe even predates cold chamber a little bit. But I mean, just that whole, you know, that whole era of the LA Sunset Strip, you know, where they always talk about it was kind of dead until you guys kind of came around again.
You know what, man? We were coming up just at the same time as a lot of bands.
Yeah.
It was like us and Cold Chamber, System of a Down, Incubus. There was a lot of bands. Korn had just broke. Deftones just broke. You know, it was that era. It was awesome. For sure.
Yeah, they were. I guess the big thing was the Sunset Strip and all those bands. You know, in the early '90s, it just kind of died, and then you know, all of you guys pop up, and it just starts popping again. I think that's amazing. Yeah.
You know, I wish that could happen again down there in Hollywood. It was awesome. It was an awesome time.
What were you guys like? Were you guys out flyering a lot? Were you guys like nose to the grindstone? You know,
dude, promoting, hell yeah, there
was, promotion all the time.
There was no social media back then.
Well, yeah.
It didn't exist. We literally would grab the LA Weekly. You know, we lived in Santa Barbara, too. We're an hour and a half drive away.
Okay.
We'd be up there, and we'd be looking at every single show that's going to be happening in that month in LA. And we'd circle it and say, all right, we're going to be down there on that date, down there on that date. And we'd be standing outside of shows, other shows, handing out stickers and flyers. We had cassette tapes. That's how old it is.
Right.
We'd be handing out cassette tapes. We literally hit the streets and marketed our own band. Absolutely. We'd be putting flyers up on every tree and telephone pole that we saw. And we'd see them ripped down the next day. And we'd put them back up. Like, yeah, we were crazy, man, for sure.
Yeah, we used to, we found out that we would take wallpaper paste. And actually, like, you know, take a roller, roll it on the telephone pole or the electrical box or whatever, throw it on there. Uh-huh. And I'm sure there are still flyers from my bands in the '90s up in up in Nashville.
Probably we had the staple gun.
Yeah. Oh, we found at one point we found a staple hammer, so it was like tat, tat,
oh.
Like you. It was.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. I think we had one of those too.
I think I called it Excalibur for a long time, man. That was a good time. The looking back on all the snot tours and stuff, man, what kind of jumps out at you as something that jumps out from that time period?
For snot, I mean, the greatest thing we ever did was Ozfest 98, man. It was insane.
Right?
Yeah, that was really, really good. And, I mean, God, it was second stage. It was us, System of a Down, Incubus. I forget who else was on that. It was really good, though. Really great time.
I know that Rob Rivera from Nonpoint talks about a time that before they were signed, they got to open for you guys in Florida, and they were like a normal, typical band on stage, and they saw you guys and had to go back to the drawing board. And by the next time that they played live, you know, they were a much more energetic band, and you know, made them what they are today, man. So you know, you were out there influencing people all the way back then.
That's awesome. I love Rob. I love the band Nonpoint. I'm glad we could influence them in some way. They're fucking awesome.
So we've already talked about, you know, what the kind of future of your solo stuff is. But one thing you and I talked about the other day was kind of how you're going to release this. And you're not releasing all at one time. You're going to hit us, you know, like, what, one song a month, one song occasionally.
Yeah.
How are you planning on doing all of that?
Yeah, I think I'm going to drop one song every month, maybe 6 weeks. And I'd like to release each song with a lyric video or some kind of visual. And we'll be putting that on iTunes and all that stuff. And you can actually download and buy the song if you'd like. We'll stream it and whatnot. But yeah, keep your eye out for it for sure. If you can find Mikey Dolley at Instagram, too, look there for sure. You know, all of it, Facebook, all that stuff. Follow my tweets, stuff like that.
The releasing stuff like that is kind of a topic that a lot of people talk about now with, you know, do you want to put out full albums? Do you want to put out EPs? And, I, you know, obviously the single a month thing, I think it gives a lot more focus to the one song. And then and then you kind of build from there rather than here's 12 songs all at once. And the ADHD culture that we live in, you're not going to sit down and listen to all of it. You might listen to the first couple and, you know, move on to something else. So I like what you're doing there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think that's the way to do it now. You just slowly put it out and let people digest it, because there's so much out there to look at besides what I'm putting out. That we'll listen to one or two songs and then move on. The record will be dead. So, yeah, I'm just going to give them one at a time, once every 6 to 8 weeks.
Now, do you see any kind of like label involvement at this in this at some point, or are you kind of just going to try to keep it as DIY as possible for as long as you can? What do you want to do there?
Well, I think these days labels don't really do anything for you at all that you can't do yourself.
Right.
You know, I mean, there is talk about me doing something with our label in Belgium, with Channel Zero. That might happen. We'll see. It's called CNR Records.
Okay.
But I'm not really too excited about any record company stuff right now. I think I can just release it on my own and just do it that way.
Yeah, and I think you've got a name enough to do that. You know, you're not technically starting out at the very, very bottom. You know, you've got, the Snot fans are going to come out. The New Metal guys are going to come out. Obviously, the Channel Zero fans overseas will come out. Soulfly and all that. So, you know, I'm seeing people are going to be interested in hearing what you're doing.
Thank you, Ben. Yeah, I got 6 songs to release. So over the next year, I'll be releasing that stuff. And if there's excitement about it, I'll go ahead and do another one and just start releasing stuff in 2020. Or excuse me, 2021. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's coming at us quick, man.
Jesus, yeah, sure is.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about we do this? How about every time you're about to drop something, you'll come on and do a quick, 10-15 minute chat, and I'll add it to whatever episode's coming out that week, and you know, we'll keep this going until the entire album's out.
I'd be honored, dude. Absolutely. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, cool, man. Well, go ahead and we're going to play Dirty Clown now. And then obviously, if you guys want to check out the video, it's over at talktomepod.com, or you can find it on any of any Mikey's socials or anything like that. So anything else you want to say about this song before we get into it?
No, man, just enjoy it. Take it for what it is. It's not that serious. I'm just poking fun at our political establishment right now. So enjoy.
We walk in tribes between the worlds, lying to us as sheep in wolf's clothes. Like a rat in trash, you eat the world, you spew the night, and we all pay the toll. Let's bring it down, now let's sound the alarm. Suppress our voice, you've tied our hands. We have no choice, it's time to take it back. You let them down. There is no place.
Hello, everybody. This is Max Cavalera, Soulfly, Return to Roots. And you are listening to Talk to Me. Stay metal. Oi!
Huge thank you to Mikey Doling. Honor, pleasure to have him on the show. So cool that he wanted to premiere his new track on the Talk To Me podcast. Make sure you're reaching out over on talktomepod.com, checking out the video, the lyric video over there, and make sure you're downloading, streaming, all that good stuff, the new track. And like we said in the interview, we will be putting out these tracks as they come out. And so I'll have Mikey on once a month, once every 6 weeks, however he wants to do it. And we'll get those out to you. So good stuff from Mikey Doling. Good stuff from Scott Bowling and Good Company with Bowling. Make sure you're checking out Good Company with Bowling, letting him know that the Talk To Me podcast sent you. Reach out to me and get a new Talk To Me t-shirt. PayPal.me/TalkToMe. $25 free shipping in the United States. Outside the U.S., once again, I will work with you on shipping and we'll get it out there to you. And then also, make sure to go over to merchlive.com, use the promo code TOME10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. So, for the Talk to Me podcast, I am Joshua Toomey, and I will talk to you next Thursday.